before Yontif, we discussed understanding pshat and drash and the role, and someone asked me after the shiur if we could talk a little bit about sod. So I'm not the person to talk about sod, and I'm not sure if this is the place to talk about sod, but it's something that I think is worthwhile at least briefly introducing. And before we talk about how to understand Torah on a level of sod, meaning to say, reading the psukim and the nature of such perushim, so we have to introduce the concept of sod more generally. Now, just as a side point, there are many different... We're going to talk about Kabbalah or sod generally as one thing. It's obvious that there are different strands and there's different understandings and the like. Just like in all aspects of Torah, there are different opinions and different mefarshim. But we're going to focus on, I think, a unified vision that's shared by almost all thinkers. And though it's certainly the case that different thinkers will emphasize different aspects and the like. So we'll begin by talking about a question that we started off on the very first shiur, and that is that there is a mitzvah to know Hashem. How do you know Hashem? How do you know? So we talked about in that first shiur how many rationalist Rishonim, for example, describe how we're supposed to know Hashem through philosophy. Philosophy is a means by which we can know God. Das Elokei Avicha. How? Through philosophy. What do we mean by philosophy? Really what we mean is through our seichel. We could use our seichel to understand God. We can never fully understand God. We can never understand His essence. But we can have a better, though certainly limited, understanding of God using our seichel. And the goal of philosophy, when it's understood as a mitzvah, is to do that. So, how do Mekubalim try to understand Hashem? The answer is, of course, through Kabbalah. So, what does that mean? So, as opposed to philosophy, or things that are rational, which can be independently discovered, when it comes to Kabbalah, so naturally, these are things that cannot be independently discovered. We can't just think about it and come up with these ideas. We know that they're true because we have a Kabbalah. We have a Mesorah. They came to us either through a Kabbalah going all the way back to Moshe, or maybe Avram Avinu, or maybe Adam HaRishon, or the like, as well as through Giluyim over the generations. Many of the great Mekubalim experienced Giluyim, whether it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, or the Arizal, or the Ramchal. All of these thinkers were Mechadesh Chidushim in the world of Kabbalah through Giluyim. Now, that's not to say that there's no element of personal Chiddush and the like other aspects of Torah. One can be Mechadesh, and perhaps another time we could talk more about how you understand that balance, really in all aspects of Torah, between what we're Mechadesh and what comes to us and what's really a Chelek in Torah and the like. But generally speaking now, it's certainly the case that the ideas, the principles of Kabbalah are not independently discoverable. It's not like trying to understand God through philosophy, where the assumption is that the seichel that God bestowed upon us can independently be used as a tool to understand Him. In this case, we know what we know because God has told us, and either because it's a Mesorah, through Giluyim, or the like. Even Kabbalah and Mekubalim, like the Rishonim who were philosophers and the like stress, that we can't understand God's essence or Ein Sof or the like by definition. We're human, we're limited, we're finite, we're creations. And therefore, our goal is not to understand him fully or his essence, but rather, we have to discover God in different ways. And we're going to talk about today two ways in which we can discover aspects of God. Two ways, not the only two ways, but two ways which in the world of Sod we find are means by which we can seek to discover and understand God. So the first one is predictable through the study of Torah, that we're going to talk about it a little differently. And the second one is perhaps a bit surprising, and that is through the study of the human form, perhaps the world in general, but especially the human form. So first let's talk about through the Torah. And this brings us back to our discussion in the last year, which is how do we relate to the stories of the Torah? So, as we discussed also in the earlier Shiurim, we all know that the study of the non-halachic aspects of Torah is very important, right? It's not surprising that a large part of Torah is non-halachic, like all of Sefer Bereishis, basically, or Gemara is not halacha, like Agadita. That highlights how important studying non-halachic texts are. And the question is, how do we read these non-halachic portions? Do we read them superficially? Do we read them as teaching us deep secrets? So let's take a look at a piece in the Zohar. It describes the many layers of stories. Now, one thing maybe we're not going to talk about today, perhaps next year we could talk about this, is whether we should be reading Zohar and at what age one should be when studying Kabbalah and the like. But this, what we're about to read, and not every passage in the Zohar is the same. A lot of Zohar is very similar to other Midrashei Agada and the like. And this is a more general statement about the nature of how we're supposed to read the Torah. So we have here, it's on page 35 of your Makoro sheets. Rabbi Shimon Omer. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Vailahu Barnash de Amar Laha de Ha Oraisa Asa Lachza Sipurin Baalma Umilin de Hadyote. Woe is to the person who says that the Torah is coming to tell us simple stories and folklore. Diachi Afilu Bismana da Anan Yecholin Lamevad Oraisa Bimilin de Hadyote Uvishabcha Yasir Mikulu. Because if this were the case, we could write it to ourselves, and we could do it even better. Right? In other words, in terms of folklore and mythical tales and the like, there are probably better mythical tales than the Torah. There are plenty of other options. We could do better. We could do better. Ilach zamila de alma safilu inun kafsiri de alma is beinai humilin ilan yoser. Right? There are better stories, better mythologies. Ihachi nezel abasrayhu v'navid minayhu oraisa kai gavna. So let's go study those works. Ela kol milin de oraisa milin ilayin inun v'razin ilayin. Rather, kol milin de oraisa. So every word of the Torah, all words of the Torah, are elevated ideas, deep secrets. Oraisa, kevan de nachtas lahai alma, ilav de milabsh de Dimitlabsha Bahani Levushin, Dehai Alma, Lo Yachil Alma Lemizba. So when the Torah came to this world, if the Torah did not cloak itself in the dress of this world, so the world couldn't handle it. In other words, the ideas of the Torah, the eternal truths of the Torah, are presented in the clothing of this world. So what is he saying? We have the ideas of the Torah, the truths of the Torah, the eternal truths of the Torah. Could they be presented explicitly? No. If they were, the world couldn't handle it, or we couldn't handle it, or the like. Why? Because we're physical creatures living in a physical world. We're not entirely physical. We'll talk about that, but we are. The alda high seaport de oraisa levusha de oraisa ehu. So when we talk about the stories of the Torah, we're talking about the levush of the Torah. Man de chashiv lahu dahu levusha ehu oraisa mamish v'lo mili achra. So anyone who thinks that the levush of the Torah, the physical stories of the Torah, is the Torah itself, is oraisa mamish and not something else, tipach ruchei. So he has no chelak in Torah. He should rot. He has no chelak in Olam Haba. Someone who basically sees the stories of the Torah as just as the Torah, whatever the stories are, with story of Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, but even the stories of Avraham Avinu and the like, the stories that are more relatable. That is not the Torah. Begain kach Amar David. Gal einai v'abita niflaus mitarasecha. Ma detachus levusha d'oraisa. So what does David HaMelech daven? He davens, open up my eyes, and I'll see the awesome things in your Torah. What was David davening for? He was davening to understand what's under the levush of Torah. Anyone could read the levush of Torah. You could translate the Torah, and you'll see it's levush. But what we're looking to try to do is understand what's below the levush. In other words, let's take this metaphor that the Zohar is using. We have the person, and we have the clothing a person is wearing, right? So, I see your clothing, but I don't see you, or at least I don't see most of your body, right? So, when you read the stories of the Torah, you read the text of the Torah, you're reading the clothing of the Torah. It's not the Torah, it's the clothing of the Torah. You can get an idea about the shape of the person from the Torah, from the clothing he's wearing, and we can try to understand the Torah from studying the levush of the Torah. But we have to understand that the stories are the levush. So let's continue. Tachazi is levusha deschaza lekula. So let's think about it. Tachazi is like tashma, come in, instead of come and listen, it's come and see. It's actually interesting, but we'll not talk about that point now. So come and look. Look, there's levush that everyone could see, right? The shirt I'm wearing, everyone could see it. V'inun tipshin, kad chaman levar nash belevusha deschazi lon shpira, and fools. So when they go ahead, and they see a well-dressed person, a beautifully dressed person, lo mistaklen yasir, they don't look any further. In other words, right, you know the phrase, don't judge a person by the clothing he wears, or don't judge a book by its cover. So fools, truth is, we all do this to some degree, right, judge a person by his clothing. I go ahead, I see your clothing, I think I know you. Because I look at the type of clothing you're wearing. You're well-dressed, fancy, not fancy, you're shlum, right? Chashivu deu levusha gufa. Basically, what people do when they make that mistake, when they see the superficial, the person, they think that the levush of the person is the person, right? So they're judging the person by his levush. They're confusing the person with his levush. Chashivusa de gufa nishmasa, but that's not true, right? What is the true chashivus of a person? It's not his guf, it's his neshama. So now we're dealing actually with three levels. We have the levush, we have the guf, and the neshama. The levush isn't me. The guf is a little more me than my levush, right? My levush I change every day. Morning I might wear one levush, and tonight I'll be wearing a different levush. My guf is a little more me than my levush, but the truth is, my guf is also not me. Who is the real me? It's my neshama. It's what's inside me. And that's not something you could see. Even if I'm not wearing clothing, you still can't see my neshama. So, here's the mashal. Ki agavna oraisa is legufa. Likewise, the Torah is a guf. The inun pikude oraisa, the ikrun gufe Torah. And those are the mitzvos that are called gufe Torah. We find Chazal always refer to mitzvos as gufe Torah. Hai gufa mislabsha belevushin de inun sipurin de hai alma. And the guf then dresses itself in clothing. Those are the stories of this world. Tipshin de alma lo mistakli ala behu levusha de ihu sipur de oraisa. So the fools look only at the levush, the stories. Velo yadi yasir, velo mistakli bamed is tachos hahu levusha. And they don't look any further. They don't look what below the levush. Inun diyad in yatir, lo mistaklin bilavusha, ala begufa. So those who are a little smarter, they look further. They go one step further. They look at the guf, which we said was the gufei Torah, the mitzvos. Chachimin avde malka ilay inun dekaimi betura de Sinai lo mistakli ela benishmasa deihi ikra dekula oraisa mamish. And tzadikim, the chachamim, look further. They try to understand the neshama, what's below the guf, what's animating the guf, what's really behind the person. Ulizmana da'asi, in future times, zimnin distakla benishmasa denishmasa dairaisa. Then we'll be able to understand the neshama of the neshama. Meaning to say, there are aspects of the Torah which we can't understand now. Lasid lavo, imos mashiach, and especially olam haba, when we will achieve more elevated levels, will be less physical, so we'll be able to understand the nishmasa denishmasa of the Torah. That's something that's unavailable to now in our current state. Now the truth is that that idea is something that is not unique to Mekubalim. I think the Rambam would have been very happy with this statement. He might not have understood the neshama of the Torah and the nishmasa of the Torah in the same way that the Mekubalim do. But fundamentally, he says the very same thing if you look at his Hakdama to the Mor Nevuchim. He writes about how the masses understand the Torah and how there's a deeper understanding to the Torah, that much of the Torah is to be understood metaphorically. That's not to say it didn't literally happen. We could talk about that another time. But understood metaphorically, as understood as referring to deeper things, and Chachamim could understand that. And then the Rambam writes the same thing. He writes that the deepest, you know, to truly understand God, a human can never fully understand God, but to better understand God, we're limited in our current state of affairs due to our physicality. The reason why tzaddikim long for Olam Haba, the Rambam says, is because when we shed that physicality in Olam Haba, we're able to understand God to a much greater degree. Human beings that were able to transcend that physicality, like Moshe Rabbeinu, we're also able to understand God to a much greater degree. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Sinai, he, though he remained physical, to some degree transcended his physicality, reflected in the fact that he didn't need to eat or drink. That wasn't because he didn't need to eat or drink, but it was a reflection. And that's how the Rambam describes the differences between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevuah. So this idea, everything in this passage that we read in the Zohar, something that really, you know, rationalist thinkers and mystical thinkers would agree to fundamentally. Again, what that omek is will be different, but the notion that there's an omek behind the Torah, something that's deeper, that's more profound, that has to be uncovered, is something certainly that everybody agrees to. This very much relates to this week's parsha, meaning Bereishis. I think I know it yet. Right? So the Ramban very famously, at the beginning, quotes Rashi. Rashi asks the question, Reb Yitzchak, why did the Torah begin with the story of Bereishis? It really should have begun with the first mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And Rashi answers what he answers. And Ramban asks, what is his question? We all know that the importance, for example, of understanding Briyei Yesh Meayin. It's one of the core principles of the Torah. So how could you say that we could just ignore Bereishis Perek Aleph? We need Bereishis Perek Aleph to teach me Briyei Yesh Meayin. And the Ramban answers that to know Briyei Yesh Meayin, all you need is what it says in the Aseret HaDibros, Ki Sheish Hashemim Asa Hashem Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. Elamai, you want to know what happened on the first day, second day, the third day? You can't understand any of that from Parshas Bereishis, right? Just read you one line of that point. Which you don't have here, but this is again from the very beginning of the Ramban and Bereishis. Vatshuva mipnei shemaisa Bereishis sod amok eno muvan min hamikraos velo yivada al borio ela mipi hakabala ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipi hagvura. So maisa Bereishis is a sod amok. You can't understand it without the Kabbalah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu mipi hagvura. The Yod of Chayavan Hastiro. So, moreover, those who know it can't teach it to you, at least except under very limited circumstances. Otherwise, they have to keep it hidden. Lechach Amr Reb Yitzchak She'ein Lahaschalas HaTorah Tzorech BeBereishis Rabba. Thus, Reb Yitzchak asks, there's no reason for Parshas Bereishis. Vasipur Bamesh Nivra B'Yom Rishon U'Manase B'Yom Sheni V'Shar Yomim. Tarichus b'yitziras adam b'chava b'chetam b'ansham b'sibur gan eden b'girsh adam imenu ki kol zeh lo yuvan bina shleima min aksuvim. The kasha is like this: there's no point in those stories because you can't understand the idea anyway from reading the psukim. Elamai, you want to understand it, you need that kabbalah, you need that masorah. Okay, so if you have the masorah, and if you don't, you don't. So what's gained by writing it? There's nothing gained. Start, leave it out. All we need to know is Kishesh Shemim Asa Hashem Asmaim V'Asaretz, and the Omek HaDavar, anyway, you're not going to get from the Psukim. And that's the idea that we see here. So, what is the purpose of these stories? And ultimately, this is what Ramban does in last week's Parsha when he goes through Maisa Bereishis, right? The Ramban teaches us how these stories or the description of the creation of the world does in fact refer to or allude to, though again, we couldn't figure it out just from the Psukim, these deeper concepts, right? The stories of the Levush refers to or is a reflection of the deeper ideas. The Ramban, for example, several places in Parshas Bereishis tells us, and this is really the second point, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes, but the idea that there are parallels between the lower worlds and the upper worlds. By studying the lower worlds, you could understand the upper worlds. By studying the Levush, you could understand the Pnimius. And one thing that many of the Mefarshim stress is that this is true not just with respect to stories, but also with respect to mitzvos. That the Shla writes, for example, that the mitzvos of the Torah are reflections of these deeper truths. And their manifestations will depend on a person's madrega. In other words, the way he puts it is the Isser of Losachro Shor V'chamor for Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden was different than it is for us nowadays and will be different Lasid Lavo. He explains that's what's meant in the Torah, that there's going to be a Bris Chadashat, because when we read a higher madrega, we'll have a whole new Havana in mitzvot. It's not to say that the mitzvot are betel in lasa lavo, but the omek hadavo become... It's in his description of the Animamins in Yud Gimel, when he goes through the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna, and it's the one on Vias HaMashiach. So he talks about how the Vias HaMashiach, then that'll come out. If you take a look, for example, the Maral in Tiferes Yisrael Perek Yud Gimel writes, V'afal Gav Dehu Lo Amar Shatora Hi Levush Lemilin Ilayin. Sorry, you don't have this. Rak Bishvil Hasipurin Shehem Batora Shelo Yivaze Osam Adam. Even though it says that the stories are the Levush, so that we're not mevaze the stories, Mikol Makom Bichlal Hazeh Gam Kein Mitzvah Satora. This idea that we saw in the Zohar is equally true with respect to the mitzvos. In other words, the mitzvos themselves are a levush for these deeper ideas. Again, the mitzvos have to be observed as it states, but the ideas of the mitzvos reflect deeper and eternal truths. The Zohar emphasizes, that Maral says, the stories, because the stories are the things that are most disparaged, right? People who are sophisticated make fun of the simplicity of the biblical stories. But the same is true with mitzvos. Sheyev shar sheyev ba'olam ha-chomri hazeh rak beguf v'hema mitzvos ha-gashmios. Right, so the mitzvos, which for the most part relate to the physical world, they're physical mitzvos. Ukemoshe bar adam sheyebo atzelem ha-loki ha-nivdal kach zos toras adam im shekol dvareh ha-dvarim el-yonim hem omdim b'dvarim ha-gashmiyim v'kasher masig b'dvarim ha-gashmiyim halo ha-dvarim ha-hem nimshachim el ha-dvarim shehem sodei ha-torah. So when you understand the gashmiyim, the mitzvos, you'll understand these deeper concepts. Ukilu adam davak be'oso ha-seichel eloki ki ha-torah hi achas. Right, and that's why through understanding Torah and studying Torah, both the mystical aspects and the halachic aspects, we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connect to Him. So what do we see again? We see in the Zohar the importance of not presuming that the simple meaning of the Torah is the only intended meaning. Now, we're going to... One very important thing to keep in mind, this is the idea we stressed in the last share about Pshat, but it's worth reiterating, is the following. That doesn't mean that there's no value in studying Pshat. Study Ramban. Ramban spends a lot of time explaining Pshat as well as explaining the MS. So maybe you'll ask, why? Just jump to the MS. That would be unfortunate, because then we wouldn't understand anything the Ramban says. But why is the Pshat so important? Isn't the Pshat the Levush? So, one part of that answer is no. The Pshat isn't just the superficial, simple understanding. There's the Omek HaPshat. But still, even Omek HaPshat is to a large degree the Levush. So, the answer to that question, and why spending, you know, it's so important to understand Pshat, is because we are physical beings that live in this world. And the Pshat, even if we're going to say the Pshat is the Levush, but we're people, we're humans, we're physical. Just like we need to do the physical mitzvos. It's not enough to simply study the eternal ideas of the mitzvos and not actually perform the mitzvos. Mitzvos are lezakeich es ha'adam, and studying the mitzvos does that, and studying pshat does that. Pshat relates to us, because even if the pshat is the levush, so we also have a levush. We're physical. We live in a physical world. And therefore the pshat and the mitzvos relate to us. And therefore we must study it and understand it. Again, if you go back to the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis, again and again he talks about the parallels between the Olamos HaTachtonim and the Elyonim, and how we could understand the Elyonim through the Tachtonim. So we have to study the Olamos HaTachtonim. And we live in the Olamos HaTachtonim. We're physical. We can transcend that. And we can connect to something deeper. But if you try to float away so then you'll miss the whole point and you won't succeed. We have to be people whose feet are planted on the world, even if Rosh HaBashamayim. So studying that Lavush, studying the Pshat, is something that's still extraordinarily important. So that's the general point, that we could understand the Pnimius through the study of Torah, for example, studying its stories, studying Maaseh Bereishis and the like. But we alluded to before another idea, fascinating idea, which is that we can understand God through understanding the human form. So what does that mean? Some of you may have seen those interesting like images of in the Kabbalistic books and the like, with the image of a human body, right, with the extended hands and the legs, and somehow or another that refers to the 10 spheros. And so what's going on there? So the answer, again, goes back to what we read last Shabbos, which is that the human body is not just a physical body. It contains the deepest secrets. And when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tselem Elokim, it's referring to this idea. Just as perhaps one manifestation of this, again, where I didn't include this in your Makoros sheet, but is the Ramban writes this in describing the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim by the Kohen in the Mikdash. So the Ramban writes at Shmos Perek Lamed Pasuk Yotes on the Pasuk V'Rachatzu Aron Uvanav, he writes, V'alderecha emes, b'avur ayos rosha adam v'sofo hayadayim v'raglayim, right, the extremities are the hands and the feet, ki hayadayim l'mala mikol gufo, if you lift your hands up like this, v'raglayim l'mata, v'hem b'tzura sa'adam, remez l'aser sfiros, shiya kol gufo b'neihem, and those are the 10 spheros, that your entire guf is between them, right? The 10 fingers, the 10 toes. Ukemo she'amru b'sefer yitzira, karas lo bris, b'en eser etzbos yadav, uv'en eser etzbos raglav, b'milas halashon, uv'milas hame'or, those are the two milas, two that we have. L'fikach nistavu mishar tzayel yon, l'urchot tzayadayim raglayim. So therefore, the Kohanim have to do rechitza dafka rechitza v'yadayim raglayim to reflect that idea. Okay, again, we don't really understand that idea, but that's what it's getting at. So the Zohar says a fascinating thing. Zohar says that, how are you going to understand God? It's a pasuk in Iyov. Mibsari echeze eloka. What does that mean? That I understand Hashem through mibsari, right? From my flesh. I look at my flesh, I look at the human form, mibsari. Echazeh, I can understand, I can perceive God. And what does that mean? So the Zohar explains that when I look at my physical body, or a human physical body, I can get a certain perception of God. Why? Because the human form was created B'Tselem Elokim. The Ramban writes in the Shaar Gemul that the many physical things of the world, this is true for that. The Ramban explains, that's the idea of Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, the uniqueness of Gan Eden was that all the physical things reflected these deep esoteric truths, and Adam was able to reach this supernal wisdom by observing these things. That relates to the Shemos that he called them and the like. But it's not limited to Gan Eden. And everything in the human world has a parallel. I'll just read you one source from the Beis Yosef. This is in the Magid Meisharim. Again, you don't have it here. V'chi agavna have b'sar nash barza mibsari achazeloka Deleka midi bibarnash, delesle dugma le'ela. Right? There's nothing in the human form that doesn't have some type of parallel, doesn't allude to a parallel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shla writes, that's nafkamina, that's why person might say, you know, when I'm alone in a room, so why shouldn't I be undressed? Why do I have to cover myself? And the answer, he says, is because the whole guf refers to these elevated concepts, even and perhaps especially the bris milah. So they shouldn't be exposed because we honor God by hiding them. Right? Ki evarei ha'adam, he writes, romzim ledvarim elyonim, kemo she'amar Iyov, umibsari achazeh Eloka, af ki habris ha'kodesh, v'lachein ein ra'ui legalosam, ki kavod Elokim, hester evarav. So this explains, and this is the source on the top of page 36. This is an idea from the Maral. Why the Maral, this is from his commentary on Pirkei Avos, but why you find so many Kabbalistic ideas in non-Kabbalistic terminology. And the truth is, that's really the godless of the Maral. One of the things that you'll find when you study the Maral presents the Pnimius HaTorah using, for the most part, non-mystical terminology. The Maral will almost never quote Zohar or other Sifrei Kabbalah. He almost exclusively comments on Agadita and Midrashim and the Gemara, but he uses that. So though he doesn't use the Kabbalistic terminology, he uses non-Kabbalistic terminology to explain this idea. So take a look at this Maral. V'yadua ki olam hazeh gashmi hu kimo malbush el olam hanivdal. So the olam hagashmi is a malbush for the olam hanivdal. Kimo sheh malbush mituar bo halavush lo b'amitaso shel halavush ra kefi hamalbush yituar halovesh. So just like the malbush is, you know, reveals the shape of the lovesh, right? You could see my shape approximately from the clothing I'm wearing, but it doesn't reveal the truth of what's below. Rak kefi malbush yituar bo lovesh. Kchein yituar Hashem yizbaruch ba'olam hagashmi mitzad ha'olam hagashmi, right? So we can understand Hashem through looking at the Olam Hagashmi. V'nemar la'adam shutzel ha'melokim, ki kasher yizbonin ha'adam b'tzir gufo, yoch la'adam lamod ladas, es Hashem yisborach. Right? So that's why we look at the Torah Aguf, and we can understand Hashem. That's what the Chazal Min Maral explains, that we have ramach evarim u'shesagidim, which correspond to the mitzvos asei and the mitzvos los asei. And he writes very strongly against taking the approach of what he calls the physicians, the rofim, who go ahead, and when they study the human body, all they see is the physical aspect of the human body. That is one true element, but it's not the deeper truth of what's here. Since it's Parshas Noach, so I didn't put it here, but the Maral explains, since it's a good example of this. This is in Baragola, what I'm about to say. What do Chazal mean when they talk about the Ramach Evar Mushasag Yidim? And that's obviously a very important number, right? You see it all the time in Chazal. What are they talking about? And Mistama, if you take anatomy in medical school, I don't know if they have the number 248 anywhere. I didn't go to medical school, so I don't know. But the Maral says a very interesting thing relating to our parsha. He says that a lot of people critique the Torah for being ignorant of science, and especially critique Chazal for their ignorance in scientific matters. And he says that, for the most part, that's because they don't understand what Chazal are trying to do. They understand, they think that Chazal are trying to explain physical reality, in which case their explanations of physical reality are false. And so they conclude that the Chachamim didn't know anything about science. But that wasn't their goal. goal of scientists and doctors, the Maharal says, is to understand and to explain physical reality. But that's not the role of Chachamim. Chachamim are trying to understand, get to the reason behind the reason. So, Lamashal. In this week's parsha, we have the rainbow. So you read the psukim about the rainbow, and it sounds like the existence of the rainbow is a reflection of Hashem's wanting to destroy the world, but remembering his bris and the like. So somebody could say, what are you talking about? I know what a rainbow, what's the cause of a rainbow, the source of a rainbow? It's light and refraction and the light going through the raindrops and prism and refraction and the like. I could give you a very good scientific explanation of the rainbow, and then they see, well, look, you know, look how silly the Torah is, because the Torah didn't know what the cause of a rainbow is, and really has nothing to do with the refraction and science and the like. So the MS is, the Ramban also deals with that issue. But the MS is, the Ramban says, no, the Torah is not trying to give you the physical explanation for a rainbow. That's not the goal of the Torah. If you want to know that, you could look at a science book. The goal of the Torah is to understand the reason behind the reason. What's behind it? Yeah, of course. On the scientific explanation of the rainbow is the refraction of the light. But what's the reason for that? What's the reason for the refraction? Why was the world created that happens? The reason behind the reason is this deeper idea that the Torah is conveying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to the world and his willingness and unwillingness to destroy the world. And the same thing when Chazal talk about Ramach Ivarim and Shesagidim. They're not trying to give the type of numbering that you would give if you were studying medicine and anatomy. That's the job of doctors, and I don't know what number they come up with. The idea, and that's why the Evarim and the Gidim correspond to Mitzvos Aseh and Mitzvos Lo Aseh, is to understand the reason behind the reason. In other words, if there is this tremendous Chachma behind every Evar in the body, because Mibsari Echazel Aloka, because my body is a reflection of these deeper secrets, so how do we see that? And when Chazal talk about Ramach Evar Mushesagidim, that's what they're talking about. And he says, to a large degree, the foolish people who come up with these contradictions between Torah and science are doing so because they don't understand the goal of the Torah. They see the Torah is trying to explain the physical causes of things when that's not really its agenda. And a remarkable reflection of this is in thinking about the purpose of the anthropomorphisms in the Torah. So the Rambam, for example, spends a lot of time in Mor Nevuchim, really the first 48 chapters or something like that, going through all of the anthropomorphisms in Torah. One of the Rambam's major agendas was to show how God is non-corporeal and how the Torah doesn't actually, when correctly understood, imply any form of corporeality. And he does so by going through really each and every place in the entire Tanakh that implies some degree of corporeality and shows how the correct understanding of these words, it doesn't imply corporeality. And usually the way he does this is by showing how these words are homonyms. Meaning to say, these words that the Torah uses have both they might have a primary definition, but they also have a secondary definition, and he actually shows how the secondary definition appears in other places, and if you use the correct definition, then it means something else. So when the word speaking is used to describe God, it doesn't have the same meaning as the word speaking when used to describe the activity that I'm doing right now, or sitting, or standing, or walking, right? Kol Hashem mishalech bagan, in Parshas Bereishis. Well, that's not, shouldn't be translated as walking. And as I said, so he goes through each of these examples And that's what he means. He writes that the Torah frequently uses equivocal language, meaning to say something that could be understood in two ways. So an obvious question that one would ask is, why is the Torah so imprecise? Right? Why didn't it use language that's unequivocal? Why did it keep on using equivocal language? Why did it use these words? Why did it present the ideas that, in a way that can so easily confuse us? There's no doubt that in the Rambam's time, many of the people of the world, most people of the world, even perhaps most Jews, really understood God corporeally, or at least quasi-corporeally. And many people are misled by the language of the Torah that sometimes, again, superficially and incorrectly understood, implies corporeality. So why did the Torah, why is the Torah so misleading? So the Rambam has a very interesting theory. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But his basic answer is that this imprecision was necessary to bring the masses to belief in Torah. Meaning to say, people, beginning with the generation leaving Mitzrayim, who were steeped in idolatry, were incapable of, initially at least, understanding the idea of an incorporeal God. It is very hard to relate to something you can't see, you can't feel, you can't touch. To understand that something exists but has no physical manifestation whatsoever, the truth is even the word exists, when referring to God, has very different meaning than we use when we refer to other things. And that was something that was too complex. And the truth is, the Rambam says this issue continued throughout the period of the prophets, though it got better with time as people became more able to comprehend non-physical notions. But the basic idea was, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to go ahead and just, or Moshe Rabbeinu were to like present the truth as it is initially, so people would not come to belief in God, because that's something that was too complex, too abstract to relate to. So he gives a mashal. Sometimes the quickest way to a place isn't the straight route, just like B'nai Yisrael took a circuitous route when leaving Mitzrayim, is his analogy. Sometimes the best way to understand things, it requires stages. When you go ahead and you teach physics, so you might initially teach Newtonian physics because relativity is something that's too difficult to comprehend, and you might even teach things in a way where you know your students are going to misunderstand things, because the only way for them to arrive at a truer and correct understanding is to take several steps before, during which they probably won't really understand the truth of the matter, but it's a necessary step in the education of the student. So the Rambam says that is the purpose of all these anthropomorphisms. Jewish people needed that initial step to come to a true belief in God. It's a bit more complex, but that's his basic theory. Now, for Mekubalim, it's quite different. When you look at, let's say again, the Ramban and his Perushim al Derech HaEmes, so you'll see that these corporeal terms are, in a sense, meant very literally. Now, it's not that any Mekubalim ever thought, any true Mekubalim, that God is in any way physical. They absolutely denied God's corporeality with equal vigor as the Rambam. But it's not the pshat, like the Rambam said, that these are homonyms. Instead, they serve as a symbolic function. In other words, like we saw before, they depict the supernal truth about the divine in a way that would otherwise be inexpressible. So the ear and the eye, or masculinity and femininity, or left and right, are all ways of expressing spiritual qualities about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that cannot be expressed otherwise. And it's by studying these symbolic manifestations that we could arrive at the deeper truth. So in a certain sense, the literal meaning should be embraced insofar as the literal reading oftentimes will express the most profound secrets. In fact, ironically, a lot of times I'll peep shot, we won't read things so literally, but when you look at the Chachmasa Emes, when you look at the Perush al Pisod, you'll see that it's in that Perush that the ideas are actually, that Perush comes from a much more literal reading of the Torah, much more focus on the particular words used. And that's the idea. Now, I want to add one point here, and then we'll have to stop. We've talked about relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the physical world. And on the one hand, that's something that is possible, according to this idea that we've been talking about through Kabbalah. On the one hand, you'd think it's the opposite, because the physical world is, in a sense, the most remote manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we look at the world of the Sphiros or the like, so this world, this physical world, is the furthest from God. But at the same time, again, we're not speaking about physically far, but it's the most distant. God is the most hidden in this physical world. And there are many levels and layers in which God is less and less and less hidden. So you'd think that the physical world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most mitzumtzum, is most, so that's the worst place to look for God. But at the same time, it's because we live in a world, it's precisely through this world that we're at least initially able to come to a true understanding of God. Because we do what live in this, the Olam HaSiyah, we're physical. And that's why the Zohar says, Leis Asar Panui Minei, that there's no place devoid of him. And one of the themes that Chassidus stresses a lot is this point. In other words, instead of focusing on our distance from God or his transcendence, we try to focus on his immanence, his presence in the world, how wherever we look, at least if we open our eyes, we could see him. Just one source, and this will be our last point, that you see this. This is from the Maggid of Mezerich from Likutei Amarim, right? So he says, this is page 36, V'leis asar panui minei, v'akol malei mechios habore baruchu, nimsa kol ma shiroa hu roa rak achios habore hanimshach bo. And this is really one of the central themes of Chassidus. And again, it's a fascinating idea, because when you look at the Chachmas Emes, you see both of these possibilities. On the one hand, yes, the physical world is the most far from him possible, right? There are many spheros, many layers, many olamos, the furthest, the least transcendent, the most, the place in which God is most hidden is here. But it's also, ironically, or precisely for that reason, that this is the best way to see him. So, Bezras Hashem, we'll pick up next week, and we'll talk about two things, and then I think we'll go on to another topic, but we're going to talk about how this manifests in terms of relating to the physical world, especially things like intimacy and the like, and then, in other words, relating to these types of mitzvos, and then, again, we're going to talk about how this relates to interpreting the Torah. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.